It is Tuesday the 17th of March 2015. This is episode 239 of Digital Outbox. Yes, we're back. Hello, I'm Chris, hosting as ever, and with me is Ian to interject with intelligence and on-the-spot brilliance.
I was just going to say I was going to pontificate.
Yep, pontificate. In fact, it takes someone of your intelligence and brilliance to come up with a word such as pontificate.
Good evening, Christopher.
Hello. Sorry about the gap, everyone. Largely my fault. Been very, very busy. Had a few other issues going on. We've decided we're going to ignore the week that we've kind of missed and catch up on last week's news, because there's been enough of it for us to fill probably what's going to end up being an hour of us mulling over bits and bobs. We'll see how it goes, though. Yeah?
Let's go.
Let's rock on. And we're going to start with the news. And today, first news story is about Twitter. Twitter, the bastards. and how they've mistreated a new service called Meerkat. Do you want to fill us in on that?
Meerkat is one of these. There's other services that have done the same, and people have been doing these kind of live streaming video kind of services for years. But for whatever reason, Meerkat took off almost about, I think it was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. and you saw lots of these shares appearing on Twitter saying, "Watch my Meerkat, I'm broadcasting live." And what was really smart was you got the link and you signed on your Twitter credentials, so it made it really easy. And the stream was about maybe 30, 40 seconds behind, but it came with an inbuilt chat and everything to make it really easy to stream to an audience of 10 people, 30 people, three of your mates, whatever, and talk online.
You set up yourself streaming live, you put the link out on Twitter, everyone logged in via Twitter, and then the actual conversation happened inside Twitter.
It was all driven through iPhones. They made a kind of bizarre decision. It was all based around like vertical video instead of horizontal. And everybody always says, don't take vertical video. But the way they'd built the service, it all really worked well. Mm-hmm. And also because in iOS now, your Twitter account's almost like a built-in account.
Yep.
It made it really easy. You didn't need to remember your password. You didn't need to create a new account. You just kind of authorized yourself.
Just said go, yeah.
And then they also leveraged the social graph that Twitter provides. And it grew really quickly. Lots of people talking about it. Twitter then bought a competitor of theirs. And then 2 days later says, by the way, you can't access the social graph anymore. Which, and this is what I hate about Twitter, because they have done lots for the developer community, but at the same time, anything either gets too big or starts to compete or starts to hack them off, it's just, sorry, no.
Or they decide that they want to take over. That's how it's gone. They let someone innovate, let someone take the ground, take it internally, and then screw everyone who started the whole thing off.
And I'm hoping, I think they've probably got enough traction to keep going. And also, the video wasn't saved anywhere. So you couldn't you couldn't go and download it again. Whereas I think the product they've bought is called Propeller, and I think it does allow you to save it, and it does a lot more. So it'll be interesting to see how they start to use it, because they've obviously done a lot more with their own video service, and this will sit on top of it as well. But yeah, Meerkat. If you see a Meerkat link, then click away. Who knows what's behind
support
it?
Support the little men.
Yeah,
but their service has been affected by this because they haven't got access to the social graph anymore. And that things aren't working as easily as they did before. Mm. So it is a bit disappointing.
Yes.
BBC giving away mini computers to a bunch of kids. These aren't Raspberry Pis. They're even more simple than that, as far as I understand. But again, it's just to encourage that kind of take up of coding and that starting step of getting interested in that side of things.
Yeah, I can't remember, because on the article it said it was called like Make It Digital Scheme, but I'm sure there was something about a year of code, and they were doing a whole lot of things about educational programs. And they've also said that they're going to do a program about a new drama based on the making of Grand Theft Auto.
Right, okay.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting subject choice.
and a documentary in Bletchley Park. So they're obviously following up on what they committed to, but this is a fairly big... I mean, was it one? Yeah, it's 1 million of these computers, which are called microbits.
And you know, they've done things like this throughout their time, haven't they? The BBC Micros and all those kind of things that were all driven from the same kind of desire to get people involved. It supports Touch, Develop, Python, and C++. So I'm assuming there's sort of layers on top of that. It's going to be simplified, whatever. But yeah, there you go. Argos is going to sell 3D printed jewelry in an interesting move. So you can actually go up to a pod and customize your item and then have it printed. It's not cheap though.
No. So there's like geometric rings at £55, berry earrings at £120, and you can put your name on it.
Yeah, most of the things are put your name on it, but there are a few items where you can customize its shape. There's got some sliders where you can extend bits, make things bigger or make things smaller. So, but you know, they're probably well positioned as a shop on the high street to do something like that. You know, they're only a waiting room, really, aren't they? That's what Argos is. So yeah, it's quite interesting development, I guess.
I think because we talked to in the past, Royal Mail were doing stuff, and there was a couple other people were looking at it, and I think people have dabbled, and it's not really taken off. And I think you've got these kind of maker studios kicking around. I know there's one in Glasgow. I guess a lot of the big cities probably have it, that you can go and, you know, they've got some sort of, you know, lathe and 3D printer and other things, because you can't afford to buy it yourself, but they can rent it out. So if anybody,
there'll
can
be a tipping
it,
point at some point. Yeah, I mean, yeah. We probably haven't got enough people sort of thinking like that at the moment, especially when they know they can get everything they really need, but probably cheaper.
If you think of over the years, all the kind of, like, if you go into like a gift shop and they'll have all the mugs that have got, and you think there's loads of names on it, but they won't have everybody's names.
No, so the digital printing is an industry, and I think, you know, your automated crappy gift maker is probably what it's going to end up being, isn't
perfect,
it?
But, perfect fit for Argos.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Why fill a catalogue with predefined crappy gifts when you can make your own? Android, they're going to be, Google are reviewing now all apps before they submit them to the Play Store. Or sorry, when they get submitted, they are being reviewed before they're released into the wild. So this is one of the big difference between Google and Apple, was Apple reviewed everything. Google are now doing so. They're doing it with automated tools for the majority of apps, and anything highlighted by those automated tools is actually then being picked up by a human reviewer to check it and confirm that there's no viruses, malware, and all that kind of nasty action.
And this has been in place for 2 months, and nobody's said anything.
No. So the fact that it's happening that quickly means that it's not slowed down the process in any way. They haven't had any complaints. We've not had any of those horrible false positives type stories yet. I'm sure they will come. But, you know, it's a very Google approach, which is that, you know, have a high level of automation and then come back to human when it's necessary.
I was always surprised they didn't do it up till now, because there was a few apps that came out on Google Play that were clearly not very nice.
No. And I think that's what, you know, it forced them down that route in the end, didn't it, really?
Yeah.
Nintendo, have you ever heard of them? I'm trying to rack my brains a bit.
Did they?
I'm not sure.
Games?
Something to do with games, anyway. They are finally going to get into the mobile games market. They've partnered with a company called DNA, spelt Dina, and it's one of those companies where they need to issue a statement saying how to say their blooming name, because they just bugs me. So I'm going to call them Dina, but they are, yeah, DNA.
I think we should call them Dana.
Dana. But basically, they partnered with this company to release games natively onto mobile platforms. So not even just assets sort of reconfigured for the mobile market. They're actually going to be releasing new games based on that mobile interface.
And this is the hell frozen over moment. Lots of people for the last... So we've been saying for the last, what, 2-3 years, get your IP out on other platforms.
Yeah, why the hell wouldn't you?
but Nintendo said, nope, we need to keep our assets. That's what our crown jewels are. We can't give them out to anybody else. And lots of Nintendo... you know, fans, I wouldn't say fanboy, just fans, you know, people that were loyal to the brand, says, well, why should they? What is the motivation? And the motivation is to make money for that company to stay alive There's no point tying it to hardware that less and less people are buying. It's a dying market.
Don't forget that before the Wii U, Nintendo was really the only person making any money in the games industry, and they made a lot of it. So when Xbox and PlayStation were both losing money, even though they were the top sellers, Nintendo was actually making a massive amount of money per console sold.
No, and they made it off the Wii, and the Wii was a...
So before the Wii U, this is...
The Wii was the first gimmick console for me. A lot were sold.
Yeah.
Because it did something totally different.
Yeah.
And a lot were bought and played that Christmas and never again.
Yeah, I mean, it did have longevity, though. I think it was it's unfair of you to... But I'm saying, I think on the money level, they weren't far off being the winners of that generation. Even though they had the weakest potential product and it was a gimmick in many people's eyes.
Yes, but they never followed up on it. There were two things that they'd missed. There was a mobile kind of online aspect. Sorry, not mobile, but it's the online aspect, I think, was really weak. That whole friend number.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
And, you know, you couldn't find people. You had to go and, like, email people your number and type it in and all that kind of stuff. And the whole, aspect of HD, I think they missed as well. It's all right saying it's not important. It is.
Basically, they were successful enough, and therefore it sent them down a dead end, what turned out to be a dead end. They didn't adapt enough for the Wii U. But nevertheless, I think at the time they were making all that money, and therefore they didn't think, passing out their IP to other platforms is a good idea. And it's probably this failure of the Wii U, the utter failure of the Wii U, that's highlighted to them that that's not enough. You can't just have three games on a console and expect people to spend all that money. Some people do, but it wasn't half as many as they were needed.
No, and also you can't rely on, Mario, Zelda, the same IPs constantly, and yes, they are fantastic games, but...
And they still sell shed loads. I mean,
they do, but you do need more.
You need a supporting cast, otherwise it just... You're seeing the same thing over and over again, aren't you?
So just to be clear what they announced today, it's not just coming to mobile, because that's what the headline of the article that I've copied in, but what they've basically committed to is that so in partnership with DNA, which and Nintendo have bought 10% of the stock of DNA, so they've kind of got a Dana. But what they're committed to doing is, first of all, doing a new online membership service, which will be accessible from smart devices, Windows PC and Nintendo systems. So this sounds like a PSN network type thing, an Xbox Live type network that will work across, they said, smart devices. So everybody's assuming that'll be iOS and Android, tablets and phones. Interestingly, Windows PCs, because I've never really brought any other Nintendo IP to Windows PCs before, and Nintendo systems. So that membership service, I think, is going to be the glue to it all. But then they've also committed to new games coming out, and they're going to lend out their IP. What they're not seeing, or what they're not committing to today, is like, you're not going to see, Legend of Zelda coming out on iPhone. What they're talking about is new games coming out to take the best advantage of those, but they'll use the characters like Zelda, Mario, etc. Which again sounds really good. And that's going to be fall 2015. So that's this year we should start to see the first fruits of that partnership.
And we're also being had announced sort of the code name for their next bit of gaming hardware called the NX as well, so that's another massive story coming out of Nintendo land. Not so many details.
I mean, basically they've said they've given the code name, which is the NX. They've said that at the center of it will be this new membership service that they've already announced, which will also tie in with not just the new NX, but also the 3DS and Wii U systems. And we'll have more on this next year, which seems an awful long way away when you've said there's a new codename for it. I do wonder if that was just to reassure everybody that this wasn't Nintendo giving up in hardware. Because lots of people said in the past, if they commit to putting their IP out in different platforms, stop making consoles, just focus on the software, focus on what you're really, really good at.
Which, everyone saw Sega do it, but it didn't necessarily do them that many favours, did it? They are still around, but it's not like it used to be.
No, definitely not. And I don't know, to me this was inevitable. For a company like Nintendo, I mean, they couldn't keep on making the losses that they were making. They couldn't keep on making new hardware, investing all that money and getting so little return.
Yep, agreed. okay, so that is officially the end of the news that we wanted to cover. But it's not the end of the podcast. We have had three events that we're also going to cover off and do quick summaries of. And we're going to be starting with Mobile World Congress. And we're going to start from Mobile World Congress with what we thought was Huawei, but actually turns out is Huawei. They have announced their first Android Wear smartwatch. And it kind of looks quite smart.
It does. It looks like the best smartwatch or Android Wear watch that's come out so far.
Because it looks kind of like a watch. it's round. It's quite low profile. It looks like a fairly, you know, decent watch. And from the sounds of the specs, it's reasonable. Don't know much more than that at this stage, really.
No. And it seemed to have a fairly reasonable battery life because it talked about 6 hours of talk time and almost 2 weeks on standby.
You can stand talking to your wrist for 6 hours.
We'll come on to that with the Apple one as well, because it's just wrong.
Hi. It's worse than seeing people with earphones on. Yes, so that was Huawei. HTC One also announced their new flagship. So gone is the Mate. And we are onto the M9. So it probably meant that the last one was probably M8. But this is very much an evolution. It's still the same kind of casing. So it kind of looks like the Mate, but it's got beefier hardware underneath and the camera's been... they've changed the direction on the camera, I believe. They've upped the specs on that.
Yeah, the last one had like two cameras and it was doing depth sensing, and there were like 4 megapixel cameras, but they called it some ultra pixel. So they
worked on it because they wanted low light performance, so something that cameras would, you know, mobiles potentially need, which is being able to take pictures in rubbish conditions. Rather than pixels, but they've gone the other way now. They've got a 20 megapixel camera in it.
I know, which is amazing. But the actual design, I always thought the design of the M8 was good. And the design, it looks exactly the same as last year. So I think they might come unstuck with that, because I think Apple's come unstuck in the past when it's, you know, it's been like the 4 and the 4S. And because it's not been new enough, people don't buy it.
I don't think there's quite the same need for that redesign that Apple has every single year.
Well, I don't think for us it matters, because we look at maybe what's different about it. But I think, again, I'll use that horrible word, the normals. I remember folk at work and they were like, I was going to buy a new iPhone. It looks exactly the same as the old one.
I think in the iPhone world that does happen. I'm not sure it happened. When you found a good case design, I think it saves people having to change all their accessories, all their ports, all their, you know, charging kits, all their stuff in their car. It saves a lot of hassle.
I mean, I think that's bad enough doing that every 2 years.
Yeah. No, I know. And plus, you know, like I say, they've got a good casing. They concentrate on sound as well, so they've got much better speakers in this device. They've even got, I think they've got some Dolby in there, have they now?
So there is Dolby audio tuning. So whether that's just they've paid for a better license or whether it does make a difference.
Probably, but that nevertheless, they have got proper stereo speakers going on there, and they are set up to be a little bit more rounded than the average mobile audio is. HTC also, they've announced the Grip, which is their first wearable fitness tracker, not wanting to be left out of the wearable fitness trackers, which everyone seems to be getting into. They've released theirs and it looked good, actually. This is their one that they're partnering with Under Armour. It looked good. It's sort of a black matte finish. They've got a colourful interior as the band, and it does pretty much everything all the others do. It's not including a heart rate monitor, though. Apparently, most bands, actually, that's a weakness anyway, but they're not including that in theirs.
Yeah, I've read that more and more, that they're saying that depending, seemingly, and I thought it was fairly obvious, but seemingly depending where the band is, if it's, I think they're saying it has to be above that main bone on your wrist, and if it's below it or on it, it just will not register heart rate properly.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of an issue.
Yeah, it's not ideal. The Grip's available this spring from $199. So if you're interested in that, go look. Valve has announced and sort of shown its virtual reality headset. They're calling it Vive. and that's made by HTC. HTC ultra busy at the moment, and the specs on this thing look awesome. They're talking about two 1200 by 1080 screens, refreshing at 90 frames per second, and basically with a massive viewing angle, which means that their selling point is that this really is a full-on immersive experience. Plus, they're adding in base stations to track you in 3D space, as in you can walk around your living room and it will walk you in the game. Most virtual realities, obviously, you have to use a controller or some other handheld thing to get you moving around in 3D space. But they're saying you can move around in a 15 foot by 15 foot sort of square, which is going to cause accidents, but nevertheless is pretty awesome.
So I was super excited by this. This came, nobody had predicted this. And this is what I like about these shows, when somebody does bring something out that has been talked about, but nobody said, oh, by the way, HTC is going to do a Valve headset. There had been rumors about Valve might have a headset at GDC, which we'll come on to soon. And as you say, the bit that got me was, it wasn't just the hardware, because it did look a bit big and bulky. But it's a kind of, again, it's a preview device, but they are committing that this will be out this year, unlike Oculus, who are now starting to say, actually, we might be next year.
And Sony are saying next year as well, aren't they?
Sony are definitely next year. Oculus, everybody thought it would be this year. And now it's almost like they've got a chase for perfection on. They want to be like, and I guess you have to be, if you put out something that makes people sick, it's just going to die. You have to know it's going to work. Everybody that tried the Vive headset said it was so much better than Oculus. It was sold them.
Having used the latest Oculus, but a recent enough one, they're suffering from low resolution and a field of view which is limited, and certainly having two displays at 1200 by 1080 seem like that's going to go some way to fix that. Also, you mentioned the fact that it looked like kind of a bulky headset. They're saying it's quite light, but also you need some distance between your eyes and the screens to try and let them settle in a little bit. So maybe that's a good thing, actually. Just looking at it, I had high hopes.
So did I. Another bit for me was that you talked about the 15 feet by 15 feet, and instantly I thought, that's great. And I was looking at it in two ways. One was at work, and because we're talking more and more about how we can put people inside our models and inside our working environment, but in a virtual world, and to be able to walk around is great. I also think in the home it would be great, and I'm thinking, where have I got 15 foot by 15 foot space? It's like when Kinect came out, and then you realised, actually, I've not got this room. I can't do it.
No, you haven't. And say that, like I say, it will cause accidents. But nevertheless, exciting times, because having only experienced it briefly, but I still feel that there's something in this massive for home virtual reality.
I think. Absolutely. I mean, that, and we'll come on to it later on, but Wipeout. And when I said Wipeout to Shaq, he was like, you are a loony if you think you're going to be, your brain will cope with that.
It'll make you feel ill.
but even if it's just for that half an hour immersive experience, it would be worth it.
Yeah, like I say, it's the scale of everything. Anyway, right, we could wax lyrical. It's happening. Hopefully it's happening this year, probably more likely next year by the sounds of everyone now. Samsung, Galaxy S6 and S6 Edge. So 2 points on that. Firstly, S6 pretty much looks like the iPhone 6, as you may imagine. But the S6 Edge is their concept, or it isn't. It's more than the concept now. So the actual screen wraps around the edge of the phone, kind of inexplicably, but kind of looks cool. I quite like it.
Well,
I like the look of it. I think it looks good.
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. And I think the reason why, and we'll come on to it. They never gave me a reason why.
No, there isn't one. Other than, when everyone releases their predicted renderings of the next Apple device, they always do things like have the screen wrapped around the edge, and it always looks good in renders. And I think it translated in this case onto the actual screen itself. I think it looked good.
So last year they had they brought out their first Edge one, and I think it was an Edge on the right hand side, and you could flip your phone round for left handed use and all that kind of stuff. And they talked about how certain icons would appear, so you get a little, there's an email notification, there's a phone notification, so you could have a case over the top of it and still see it. There didn't seem to be any of that this year. And what I didn't get was
it just
why.
Looks cool.
I know, but why? So you buy an Edge over an S6 just because it looks different?
I can see a picture here which is explaining exactly why you need one, which is so it can lie on a flat surface and you can still read happily a status of weather, time, and date, and clock. Have an alarm clock setting. I genuinely, though, it is a bit different, and I quite like that about it.
No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. The one thing I didn't, I'm still a bit confused by Samsung. So they've almost went back to maybe where the S3 and 4 were going, where they're a lot more copying of like Apple's design, and that this is almost a copy of not the current iPhone, but the previous ones with the glass front and back. But even the way, I mean, if I look in the back, I can't look in the back of the phone because I've got a cover over it. If I look in the back of the iPhone 6 and you've got the kind of way they do the bands now to allow the phone signals through, mm-hmm. It looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody actually put up a picture of the, you know, and said, here's an iPhone, and it was a Samsung. And then they did another one that says, here's a new Samsung, and it was an iPhone. And people just thought they were the same. It was just, you couldn't tell which was which until you actually looked at it properly. The bit I'm surprised at is they've given up on things like replaceable battery and adding your own storage, which a lot of people put, you know, oh, I can replace the battery. I never saw anybody doing it, but they talked about it for ages. Oh, I can put my own storage in. And again, I think people bought a card initially and that was it. I didn't see any of the folk that I know, and maybe I've got a set of users that I know with Samsung phones or with Android phones that weren't taking advantage of that. But I never saw somebody going, oh, I can just carry an extra battery. I mean, I went hill walking and I had to take a battery charger for the iPhone.
And that's the new solution, right? You take a battery charger, you don't take.
But I always said it in the back of my head, you know, I could just go and probably get a cheap Android and then you just get a replaceable battery rather than humping all this around.
But
and
like
then
the cheap Android
I can drop and it won't break. Oh, sorry, it will break and I'm not going to be gutted.
It's gone out of the psyche, I think, of people now. They just expect not to be able to change the battery now, I think. Anyway, they went down the bit of a dead end with their S5 and to some extent their S4, because the S3 was their killer one, right? Which everyone, you know, bought shed loads of. But the S4 and S5 seem to have gone down a sort of incorrect route, so they're hoping to drag it all back. And they've done that by pretty much copying the iPhone. Interesting to see whether the litigation kicks off again.
They did a new pay service, so obviously influenced by Apple Pay, called Samsung Pay, which was good to see. They also had a fingerprint sensor, and it was good to see that the actual icons they'd used on it as you registered your fingerprint were the same as what you do in iOS.
It's very easy. I mean, it makes designing things a lot easier.
No, it does. I just never realised it when each new iOS release, there's obviously some sort of standard that Apple are issuing out to the mobile industry. This is what a fingerprint sensor should look like, and this is the icons you should display.
I like the fact that it bugs people, though.
it's and that's what I like more about HTC.
Yes, they feel, even though they got slammed by Apple as well, in fact, more so in some respects, they do feel like their own thing, right?
It looks a different product, and that's why I like the look.
And it's a good product as well.
They look a different product.
The problem is they don't sell them.
I know.
So who's right? Microsoft, they've also been chucking out new phones. Very bright and colourful they are too. So the Lumia 640, 640 XL. And basically they're one of the key killer points is they're shipping with Office subscription for a year, which includes access on one of your tablets as well, and a PC. And they're also free Skype calling. So you get, I think it's 100 minutes of international calling with every month as well for free via Skype. So that's, you know, that's pretty much your mobile telephony and Office thrown in. So it's almost like having Office for a year and throwing in a free phone. Because these things aren't ultra expensive.
No, and it's amazing. Microsoft never used to be that kind of services-driven company, but clearly they are.
Yeah. And the phones, they're very much along the same lines as other Microsoft phones. So they're bright, colourful backs, sort of just very to the point front ends. I think they've got it right, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean they weren't high spec phones. They were kind of low to middle, but they looked actually pretty good.
And they hook into all the services, and there is a good likelihood that Windows 10 is going to correct a lot of the issues of Windows 8, and these phones will be updatable to Windows 10 once that gets released later in the year.
So the one kind of final point for me, Mobile World Congress had far more in it than CES. You know, there was like more interest in products.
And a lot more excitement and buzz around it as well, actually.
And it's amazing how, and I don't know if that's just the market has moved to being more mobile driven, but even the fact that HTC announced the Vive headset at Mobile World Congress rather than waiting till 2 days later at Gamers Developer Conference. It's amazing.
So let's go on. Let's talk about the Game Developers Conference. And we're going to start with Sony, who announced the Morpheus VR headset will actually be shipping in 2016. And, you know, it looks good, but it's a long way away now, right?
Yeah.
They're talking about, again, large 1920 1080 screen, 120 hertz refresh rate, 100 degrees field of view, but they're but still not quite up to that Valve. I think Valve moved the goalpost on that sort of screen size thing.
So I think the screen size Valve is certainly looks to be a better spec, but then the refresh sitting at 120 against 90. Again, I think time will tell. I think the difference you're going to get is this is the only option if you're a home console user. If you're not willing to invest in a powerful gaming PC to go and drive these headsets, this is the only option really.
At the moment, yeah. I think
I can't see Microsoft announcing anything this year. There's not been any rumors.
No,
it's
been too quiet, hasn't it? It's been too quiet. It seems like it's taking a lot of these companies a lot longer than they think to actually perfect and consumerize this thing. So again, you wouldn't want Microsoft to just come and rush this unless they've been secretly doing it. I know they've talked about they've got another product which we'll come and talk to in a little bit, but it's not quite the same thing. Sony's headset does allow you to tilt up the eyepieces away from yourself without having to physically remove the headset. So that's quite a nice little selling
point.
I thought
that was good because when I was being sick, you want to make sure you hit the toilet and see if you had to constantly take your headset off and then take all the bands off and then put it back on again. That would be
It would be awful.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is useful because especially, you know, in things like gaming, you have to find where you've put the control pad down, or where if you're on a PC type sort of thing, you need to be able to see where the keypad is or the keyboard. So, yep, it is quite important.
So there was no games with this. The demos were all kind of almost like in-house demos. But what they've promised is at E3, there will be actual game demos because this is early 2016. So they're talking about the first quarter next year.
It'll be here quicker than we think.
Well, I'm looking I'm kind of suspecting you'll get things like Drive Club 2. You know, because the graphics in Drive Club are amazing, and I just think, you know, stick a Morpheus headset in that environment. What's the space game that I can't wait for that I've forgotten?
Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, there's Elite Dangerous, but what's the other one?
No Man's Sky.
Yeah, that with headset. Ooh.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. Yeah. No, I'd say all those things. It's exciting. So let's we are having to wait till next year, but like I say, it'll be here sooner than you think, and you'll have all the build up as it goes along. Nvidia announced basically a smart TV that's going to act as a game streaming console as well. Only $199, so it's dead cheap, and it's their first foray into this arena.
Nvidia's got a platform, really. You know, they've got, like, remember there was a little portable one as well? I'm surprised at this. They must be selling.
Yeah, well, I mean, Nvidia are well renowned in the graphics card industry, and this idea that they've got a TV that also acts as your game streaming thing, so you know, it actually streams content from elsewhere in the house, is quite a compelling one nowadays with all the multi-screen usage that we have around houses. So I think, you know, it's got enough capability; it can actually stream 4K and H.265 video. So that's again just another nice. You know, nice to have thing. Whether it's got the general consumer must-have-ness about it, I don't think so, but still a nice bit of kit, I guess.
Because the game demos were, you know, Doom 3 and Borderlands.
You know, not very recent.
No. But then it was like, so they talked about the Tegra X1 process. It's 35 times faster than Apple TV. I think I could get a mouse and a wheel and it would be faster than my Apple TV right now. It also said it was 6 times as powerful as Xbox 360, which Microsoft released in 2005. It probably means that this is actually twice as powerful as an Xbox One. But never mind.
Yeah, let's wait for that to develop up and let's see what happens with it. I'm not expecting that we're going to hear too much more about that. That's probably it's gone. Steam Link, basically streaming PC games to any room in your house. So another kind of along the same lines, but from Steam, which immediately gives it a little bit of credibility there. And, you know, it's $49. So it's way into the throwaway market.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, be interesting to see how this all ties together. And then you've also got the Vive headset coming out and all the little Steam.
Yeah, they're making their little empire, aren't they? This little streaming service is designed to work with Windows, Mac, and Linux. So, and also the Steam machines that they're releasing shortly. So it's cross compatible as well, which is great. So you don't have to be limited to just being, you know, like the PlayStation solution is just for the PlayStation, and this is just for your PC. So this is nice that it's across all those devices.
Because remember, Steam showed all those kind of little PCs that people were making, like gaming PCs that would sit under the TV, and some of them were like a couple hundred dollars, and some of them were $1,000. I'm assuming one will come out for the headset. I can't see them doing the headset and saying, go and buy all your... I'm assuming they'll actually say, by the way, here's a Steam PC that is actually going to drive it really well.
Yeah, they're bound to, and it's going to need something like that. And living room is the place for that, and you don't want a massive, set-top box thing in your living room. So they'd have to design a nice, tightly controlled...
Well, especially all of the gaming PCs now are all bright lights.
Yeah, they're all neon.
I saw somebody put up a video today just when they say that. It was of a keyboard. And it was all individual backlit keys, and you could make it strobe rainbow colours. And it was like ridiculous, and I wanted one. It was just like that.
I want it.
Yes, I want it now.
Who knew that 3D engines were such big news?
Wow.
But we've had three announcements in very quick succession all around 3D engines, starting with Unreal Engine 4, which basically is Epic are making it free to download now for developers, free for everyone to download. The only stipulation being is if you make any significant money from that, so that's $12,000 per year. Above that, you give them a royalty fee of 5% of your untaxed or pre-tax revenue. So, obviously previously that companies like this held, you know, really the licensing deals were tight on this. So for them to allow that anyone to download and have a go with it is going to lead to innovation. I mean, it's amazing how many games Unreal Engine 4 drives, or Unreal Engine in full stop, since its first inception. It drives so much stuff. Nearly all the kind of demos when a new system comes out, they're always done on Unreal Engine, because it's always the first one that picks up on all the new gadgets and stuff.
Even like there's a new American football game powered by Unreal Engine 4. You know, and it's just because a lot of people think Unreal Engine is just first-person shooters and different variants of first-person shooters, but it's not.
But now the worlds that those first-person shooters create is so realistic that you can just change the camera angle, and it's deep and rich enough that it
But just to
works.
open this out to anybody, you know, the fact that you could download it now and start to bring in your own assets and mess around.
Yeah, see what happens.
Yeah.
And there's clever people out there, you know, willing to just have a play with this and haven't been able to up until now because of the money. Unity 5 has also going to offer a free version. It is going to have a professional version as well, but the personal version contains nearly everything. And the personal version is available for anyone who not having having funding of less than $100,000 a year. So again, covering nearly all sort of in-house game development amateur indie game developers is the word I was looking for. But yeah, there we go. Unity, another massive engine, covering probably most of the games that Unreal doesn't. And then Source 2 also didn't want to be forgotten out of the thing, and it's released its latest Source engine. Is that one free though? Yes, it is. There we go. It has offered it for free as well.
So this was all within, and the reason I'd suck these in, it was all within almost like 48 hours of each other, each of the big, you know, 3D engines announced this. And I guess it's, for me, it was also the, you know, I said before, I'm really interested in Oculus and how we can use it in an enterprise world. So again, using these tools now, instead of having to spend, you know, we'd have to spend quite a bit of money just to have a punt on it.
Yep.
And we don't anymore.
You know, nope, because you've probably got enough of the software in-house for all your modeling that you can now import them into the Unreal Engine, and there you go. You've got inbuilt virtual reality generator.
So really, really interesting.
Shows how much insider knowledge there is between each of those companies, as in spies and internal knowledge, because the fact that they could release and announce all these things within 48 hours means that they knew about each other's plans a long time ahead of time.
Absolutely. And I think that obviously they knew where things are going as well. I mean, the indie game market on both consoles is huge now.
And yeah, growing. And it's where the excitement is. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it's just that, I mean, you can throw £10 down in a console game now.
Yep. No, definitely.
Helldivers. It was just a throwaway punt last weekend and it was great.
Phil Spencer has been announcing stuff for Xbox One, HoloLens, and Windows 10 as well. So where should we start? You start us off.
Thanks for that.
That's fine.
So there's a couple of kind of, you know, low value stuff. You know, you'll be an adapter that you can announce for Windows 10, so you can plug your Xbox One wireless peripherals in. They talked about this IDEA Xbox program for indie developers. So instead of just being focused on Xbox, it's again across all Windows 10 devices. And they're obviously making a big push with Windows 10 being across their whole stack.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not just, you know, PCs, but it's also tablets and it's phones. And they are still chasing down that ideal of write it once and it, you know, work it anywhere.
Yep.
So yep. That could be really interesting. I think the one that got maybe the biggest press initially was Elite Dangerous. It's coming to Xbox this summer. So up till now, that was just PC and Mac and other platforms. They announced it as a complete and authentic Elite Dangerous experience. They also announced it was an exclusive. David Brabham confirmed on Twitter later on it was exclusive this year and it will come to PS4 next year. And the fact that they already support Oculus on the PC, I strongly suspect they'll be supporting Morpheus on the PS4.
Which, again, having played Elite Dangerous with a headset, I don't think it would be the same without one.
Yeah, you know, okay. it just sounds awesome. But I've bought it for Mac and it should come out this month. Again, it was just to start messing around with Oculus. I've got it for PC to try it on Oculus.
I'm not willing to take a punt on it until I've heard whether it's any good. I just have a feeling there's a little bit of rose tinted glasses going on, and they can actually recreate that. Excitement.
I've read enough that I think it's there. And I think Edge last month or this month reviewed it and gave it an 8. And said it was a very, very good game and always getting better because they've kind of almost got this sort of, you know, multi-year commitment to actually doing more and releasing more to the storyline and releasing more to the actual what you can do. So I don't know. I'm kind of sold, but I was probably sold when they first announced it.
Yes.
And then they finally talked about HoloLens.
Yes.
And all they really said was that there's this app platform and you can create the same game across Xbox, Windows 10 and HoloLens, but not much more. And they did also say that HoloLens is definitely coming this year.
And HoloLens was their virtual reality, augmented reality headset. So it basically was a headset you wore that then in sort of projected, if you like, things into your environment, so TVs on the wall or an object on your desk or some, you know, things like that.
Yeah, so very different to the virtual reality that's been talked about else, you know, I guess the last half hour that we've kind of touched on it in many places. But it didn't really say much apart from
their initial demo was quite compelling thing to watch, but you think in reality it's not gonna be up to snuff.
No,
but we'll see. Prove me wrong. new live Xbox Live SDK also being released. There you go. Hopefully it works. So
I don't know. I feel quite jaded about almost all multiplayer games at the moment.
Yeah. I'm back in the single player mode. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So that is the end of our news for Game Developer Conference. Now we're going to go and talk about the Apple event. Let's go as the event unfolded, shall we? And they very excitedly announced that HBO Now was being launched, which is a subscription service onto Apple TV, and it's going to release all HBO content, including all the Game of Thrones and most up-to-date stuff, as well as all their past catalogs, $14.99 a month. What did you reckon?
It sounded okay. I was disappointed that it's not in the UK.
Yes. And why can't HBO sort something for the UK? We're desperate.
Sky's bought it.
Yes, so Sky has it on all
Sky,
their...
Sky's got it locked, I think, for another 4 years.
And there is only one other TV service that will even... It might even be Sky's own TV service that where you can actually go and properly rent them and get them down and stuff like
that. So you can do the Now TV. So Sky, I think, after 2 years of HBO, then went and plumped down quite a bit of cash and said, we want it to be multi-year and we don't want another platform to get it and we want to do everything.
I have to say... Once you're in that Sky universe, the box set type thing around all the HBO content is great. You can go and watch The Wire. You can go and watch all those kind of back things.
I agreed. It was just the amount of people that were like, when's it coming to the UK? When's it coming to the UK? And I was like, I pointed two or three of them to the UK article. Sorry, the BBC article. It said it's not. And they were like, Apple, that's not on. And it's like, and this is the, I blogged about it through the week. I do think Apple's got a bit of an issue with their hardware. Is like universal. Remember, it used to be the hardware would come out first in America and then it would be like 6 months later here, or it was 2 months later here. But now it's like when something comes out, it kind of hits the world.
It hits the world, and they cannot keep up with the rest of the market.
The services, but don't, you know, whether that's due to licensing or whatever. And I do think, but
it's not always licensing, is it?
No.
Because even their Siri services and things like that have been lagging behind in certain aspects, and the search services and all those.
And it's things like iTunes. You know, if you look at iTunes Radio, it just never came here. Apple Pay, they're hopeful by the end of this year. It always feels like, you know, the rest of the world is an afterthought with their services. And that's fine if you're not using that to drive your product sales, but more and more it's being used to drive product sales.
Soon it won't be America they'll start with either. I think soon they'll start with China. They're clearly making a massive impact. They were great pains to show how many stores they were opening and all the new stores are. All their drive is over in that kind of market. And why wouldn't it be when they're a massive mobile market and they've got a real thirst for
Amazon? And that's when it would really drop for all the kind of tech blogs in America if somebody else got a service first.
I
just think back to you know what it's like, you know, with us gamers, it would always come out in America on a Tuesday and we'd get it on a Friday. And I think there was 1 year Forza came out here first.
Yeah, and they couldn't stand it.
It was one game. It was like, this is a disgrace.
Spotify was really reviled in America because it didn't come to there for years. And they were like, well, it must be rubbish then. Yep. And no, when it did come, they were a bit like, oh, okay, we've got it now. We don't see what the fuss was about.
Yeah.
They said that in American accent, not in a pissed off European accent. Apple Pay, Apple TV, they jumped onto, they've reduced the price down to $69. So there's still movement going to happen on Apple TV, but at the moment they're happy just to keep things ticking over by reducing the price of it.
There must be a new one coming this year. That hardware is sold.
Yeah, well, whatever. It doesn't really bother me either way. There's nothing there for us anyway, even when they do release a new bit of kit.
No, but if there was an App Store, I still don't get why there's not an Apple TV with an App Store. Anyway.
Apple Pay has expanded in America, up to 250 banks now all involved. And quite intriguingly, they're Coke machines. So you can actually walk up to a Coke machine with your phone and without any need for cash. Go and buy a bottle of something. I quite like the idea of that.
Yeah, no, it was good. And I think that certainly the bank take-up has been massive. And also the fact that banks are paying for adverts on American TV to advertise that they support Apple Pay is remarkable.
We're with them. Yeah. CarPlay also had commitment by every major car brand. I know blah, 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 but it has been a quick take-up.
It's not.
They saying it has. Can
you buy a car that's got CarPlay in it now? No.
I don't want one.
No, but that is...
In fact, I'll take any car, whether it's got CarPlay or not, as long as it can tow my trailer.
Aw. Bless.
Research kit, they blathered on about that as again. So lots of
stuff. Did you not think that was a big deal? I did. I got super excited.
Okay, so they're collecting all this data, basically, on your health and well-being. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I've missed a couple of bits. So they did the CarPlay bit and they did a bit about HomeKit and I was like, this is just a puff piece just to say, remember HomeKit is still there. And then they said HealthKit and remember, you know, we've done all these great things with health. And I was like, yeah, but half the apps don't work and all that kind of nonsense. And then they talked about ResearchKit and I was like, yeah, where's this going? And I thought this was great. So they've partnered with lots of...
Sorry, yes. It was a half yawn I tried to suppress, sorry. And it came...
I've been cut down in my prime.
Sorry, you explain how research so, is so amazing.
They've built five apps with loads of medical research firms across the world, mostly America, but also Oxford University, I think. Mm-hmm. And the apps are out now. And you're basically using the sensors within the iPhone. You sign up for research. You don't have to do it. And the ones I've paired with, so the first one, there's one about Parkinson's. There's one about diabetes, which I did quite like. And this isn't my joke, but you can pay for Coca-Cola with your iPhone and participate in diabetes research. I thought it was quite good. There's cardiovascular. So there's an app called My Heart, asthma, so and breast cancer. And Apple, they've been doing this with the whole Google stuff about how they don't sell your data and they're not interested in your data. So they've been a big thing about Apple will not see your data. There's nothing to do with Apple.
It gets hacked.
No,
by an insurance firm.
Apple will not sell it to your data, and also it's open source. So from next month,
I'm trying to think of the word, the phrase, but it's kind of like community. I don't know, self help almost, isn't it? It's you know, I'm trying. Blooming can't think of the word that I want.
No, but it is.
You know,
it's like
we've got. Have you heard of Zooniverse, where they get people to do science research online just by doing repetitive tasks that computers aren't so good at, and people love it. And this is a similar thing, but just based around health and fitness, and general sort of woes and diseases and stuff like that. So yeah.
But it's the whole load of things they can get from the sensors that are in here already. So can they detect over the course of a year or two that your walking gait has changed and hence you've maybe got a bad back or you'll get something else that you should be seeing your medical, you know, your doctor about, or it can trigger something that somebody says, actually, you know, we'd recommend you go and do X. And I'm using that as one example. There's other things that they can do and start to sense. You know, you're maybe in a poor environment, your sleeping is irregular, you know, all these things are adding up to say, actually, you should go and get checked out. You know, if you can start to leverage that.
There's a big part of me which thinks, okay, a phone, they're using this device because that's what everyone's got. And it sounds brilliant, but I think the reality of what you can actually grab from something like a phone is a lot less than they're making it sound. I think you'd need a different device to do that, something much more.
I think for some things you need different devices, but once you start putting, you know, the heart rate sensor in, you know, and who knows what sensors you'll get next year or a year after, you know, so the heart rate sensor is in the Apple Watch, and once you start pairing those, because to use the Apple Watch, you need an iPhone. So you're starting to see that there's a market there, an ecosystem. And I do think there's a lot there. I really do. I thought that was something that was, they spent 15 minutes and it was an important 15 minutes because it differentiates them, I think, from a lot of work that everybody else is doing.
Until they just want to, you know, why wouldn't they expand it into a different device? You know, it's not going to just stay Apple devices.
Well, that's why it's open source. So what they've said is any platform, any device can use it.
So it's not going to differentiate them long.
but they've done the hard yards.
MacBook. They released an extremely thin device, and basically it's I don't know what they're kind of cannibalizing themselves, because it's very much the new MacBook Air, really, isn't it? Right. It's thinner than the MacBook Air. It's lighter than the MacBook Air.
It's thinner and it's lighter and it's smaller, and it's not called a MacBook Air. It's called a MacBook.
No, so this is going back to their very much just what, you know, their basic notebook. They're not, it's not the MacBook Pro, so it's the one that used to be plastic, but now it's this pretty dramatic unibody aluminium, all aluminium enclosure.
So I thought the design was amazing. I'd really like to look at it. It's a Retina. It's a 12-inch display. They've got some new tech in there. So the trackpad is no longer clicks, but use this haptic feedback feature that tricks your mind, and everybody has tried it, because you can go into an Apple store now and try it on the MacBook Pros, because it's also appeared on there. See, it's like voodoo, because you think it's moved,
right? Okay.
But it's not. So that's interesting. It's fanless.
Yeah,
which again, is a bit iPad iPhone esque.
And you know, the internals of it pretty much looks like a phone sized internal board. It's pretty much a phone with a full-size keyboard, screen, and
keyboard,
and battery.
I thought looked great. So they've redesigned how they do their key presses to make it thinner and more uniform. All these stuff got me really excited. And then there was a one connector. So it's now USB-C. which does your power and your display port.
Which is fine up until the point you want to connect to more stuff, and then you've got to pay your Apple tax on a.
So, and this is a cable. Controversial bit. It's like $79 for an adapter to get a power, a one USB port and external video at the same time, which is a lot of dough.
On top of what you've already paid it. When it doesn't seem like for the want of having just one hole, and I guess it is all the connectors that have to actually route to the edges of the system, and I think that's probably more their point is we don't want to route all this to the edge of the system because it's going to make it fatter just for no apparent reason.
But then Google brought out the new Pixel and it had two USB-Cs on either side, so you can power it from either side, and you're like, that's
much better idea.
That's a really good idea. Now it wouldn't surprise me if next year's MacBook had two USB-Cs.
Yeah, sure. The
first MacBook Air only had one USB, and then the subsequent one came out with two. You know, so they almost went too far, realized that they had a lot of feedback saying actually one more would have been great. I do think I've had a lucky escape. I was about to drop a lot of money on a Thunderbolt, Discovery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now they've gone USB-C, yeah.
We'll see once the refreshes come this year of the iMac and the MacBook Pros, I reckon you'll see the USB-C in place, and they might still have Thunderbolt to support people who have
the people that have just bought all the stuff that is Thunderbolt,
but it feels like so the other controversial bit, CPU is tiny,
but for this, remember, this is the MacBook, so it's not designed for anything more really than bit of internet, but you know, it's kind of a bit more of a full-size tablet, isn't it? Right.
It's exactly what I use my current MacBook Air for. I hardly ever plug anything in apart to charge it.
Yeah.
So I want to buy one.
No, I liked it. I liked the design of it. I liked how it was very, very focused. It knows what it is. The only thing that I don't know is where does MacBook Air fit into now? You know, the smaller of the MacBook Airs. Because
I think the MacBook Air disappears next year.
I think it might do. I think this has replaced it.
I think you just have a MacBook and a MacBook Pro.
And the MacBook Pro, I have a feeling they're going to ditch the CD drive and a few of the other bits and bobs to make that.
It's ditched already.
You can still get a model with it, though, I think. Or am I wrong?
Oh, maybe you're right. The older one is still available, isn't it?
I think so. And I think they will now slim that right back down. But maybe, obviously, the differentiator will be the number of ports and the specs will be higher. I'm guessing, to drive those specs, I guess they'll need a bit of a bigger, thicker enclosure just to hold the batteries.
I can only think potentially schools still use it. I mean, see it work now. Our standard laptops, there's no DVD drives.
Mm.
There's just no need.
No, certainly they've, with the internet speeds increased as they are, there's no need. You're right. And let's squeeze in the last announcement, shall we? No one's interested. Apple Watch, you interested?
I'm actually not.
No. I think it's going to, I think it'll pick up. It's amazing that I don't know if they not captured the imagination or there's just so many other announcements around that it's just it didn't seem that exciting. But basically the Apple Watch, they've fleshed it out. It's kind of repeated what they went over before, really.
And that was my issue. They never gave me a reason to buy this. They never told me a compelling reason to do this. It was like, here's the stuff that you already know. It was Tim that did that, he's not a great kind of sales guy. He just, read out in quite a drawl what we already knew. Christy Turlington turned up because she's running a marathon wearing one, and it was like, great.
Good for you.
And it was all really false, kind of staged hug. And it was just like,
it was very Microsoft.
Horrible. They confirmed that you can talk to the watch instead of talking to your phone. I was like, sod off. That's I'm not interested.
And they confirmed it's expensive.
Yeah. So a couple of things they did confirm as well. That one, you do need the iPhone. Two, there are some nice apps coming out, so like Uber and, you can airport. I mean, they had the whole airport check-in nonsense, and it's like, even if I'm flying once a week, I don't need a watch when my phone's right there. It doesn't save me that much. But they also, this all-day battery, 18 hours. And I saw lots of people saying all-day battery is 18 hours, but then they say it's an all-day battery in the MacBook, and that's 12 hours. But all they're talking about is it's all-day for that particular use case.
It still means you need to take your watch off at night, right?
Yep.
So that's not ideal.
No, definitely not.
But then I think that's the case with most of them, so I don't think it's any different with any of those.
No. And then we came on to prices, and I just realised that I didn't update the post with the UK prices. How bad of me. But it's expensive.
Go on, do it on the fly. So we've got three variants. We've got the Sport, which is made of anodized aluminium, silver and space grey. So that is...
£300.
300 quid or 349. Is that for the 38 or 42?
It's 300 quid for the 38 and it's 340 for the 42.
Wow. So that's quite a big European tax then, because it's $349 for the 38 and $399 for the 42. So nearly a one-to-one relay.
And I saw people complaining that the bigger watch shouldn't cost you more just because you've maybe got a bigger wrist. But there's unfortunately the components cost more. You know, you're into...
Yeah. Right, well, but it's harder to miniaturize, so actually it should cost more for the small.
But the 6 Plus has cost more than the 6.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't see anybody saying I've got a bigger hand, so I should get the same phone with the same price.
So that's for the Sport. For the main, just normal watch made out of stainless steel, that starts at $549. So I'm imagining that's £500.
£479.
Right, £479. And then ranges all the way up to just over $1,050 roughly.
So that's for the, if you start looking at the stainless steel bracelet as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 819 for the 38 with the stainless steel case. 819
pounds for a watch.
Now Shaq is in the market probably for that, but I think he's actually thinking he'll just get the Sport because it's Gen 1 and it's a lot of money. And you can buy the Sport.
£800 for a watch. How much does the Pebble cost?
A couple hundred.
Yeah, and most of the other smartwatches we've seen are also in that couple of hundred region. This, you know, that's a massive, massive increase in cost.
Their naming just sucks. So they've got an Apple Watch and they've got a Sport Watch and Edition. Yeah. Edition. It feels illogical. The watch.
Do we even want to cover the Edition?
Well, we need to just have just for lols, really. this is our gold one. Starting price is 8,000.
Yes, you heard that right. £8,000 for a gold watch.
No, it's not just
any gold watch.
No, and what's quite interesting is the 38 millimeters 8,000, but the 42 millimeters 9,500. So big wrist, 1,500.
Flipping it. And they all do.
The most expensive than that is 13.5.
Wow.
And that's for the 38, 18 carat yellow gold case with bright red modern buckle.
Yeah, okay. People bought iPhones with diamond encrusted cases, though, so people will buy this.
So I actually saw some quite good reaction on it, because people initially were like, who's going to pay that? And it's like, it's people that already have £10,000 watches.
Yeah. But
you know, there's people that do have 3, 4, 5 watches.
I genuinely think, though, people who do have £10,000 watches do want the brand of a £10,000 watch. They want the tag on their wrist, or, you know.
Basically, they look like a dick.
Yeah, but, you know, there's not. I think there's a place in the world for a, you know, expensive watch if people want that. But I think.
The only
differentiator of these watches is their casings.
Yeah. So the internals are what differentiates some of the watches that are, you know, there's a different, there's the...
A £10,000 tag watch internals is what you're paying for.
Yeah, so you're paying for brand and also the internals. And you can, if you look at a £3,000 tag against a £10,000 tag, there's generally quite a lot of difference there.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's just gold
the
plastic.
Underlying hardware is exactly aluminium. The same. It's just what it comes in. It's a bit weird for me.
And also a tag generally, and again, this is what... Maybe I'm just not a watch connoisseur. You know, I don't... The internals of this are going to be out of date in 2 years' time.
Yep.
Whereas a tag lasts... It should last a lifetime with lots of...
You buy it once.
In between.
Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Know? So it's still... And that's where I have the problem with the whole... They never sold me why I need this.
No, and why there's such a premium over all these other watches that are coming out at the moment. why is that premium there? Maybe it will become clear in the future. So that is the end of our event roundup. We're going to move on to have a look at some picks.
I foolishly have a pick in the longest ever podcast, but I couldn't not say this. I used to love me a bit of Railroad Tycoon and SimCity and all that back in the day, and the latest SimCity just sucked. We covered it here in the podcast a couple of years ago. It had to be online all the time. You had to be in a multiplayer gaming environment. You were restricted in how big the city could grow. And
for all intents, all reports back said that it was actually a bit rubbish as well.
Yep. And then a year after it came out, they patched it to say you don't need all these things that we insisted that you had to have. And that to me was a desperate, can we squeeze
it? And it still didn't make the game work because things just didn't make any relationship to each other yet. So it was rubbish. So you found an alternative.
Cities Skylines came out last week, came out on March 10th. It's on Steam, £23. So not that expensive. Mac, PC and Linux. And it's much the same. As SimCity, a bit more emphasis in transport. There are some quite tedious bits to it in that you have to lay your own, you know, water pipes and sewer pipes. It's not just automatically there, because I think in the past if you laid a road there was things always assumed round about it. And there are some quite more complex things in it, you know, like you can lay bus routes and interconnecting routes and all sorts of stuff, and some of the UI gets a bit in the way. However, it is awesome.
Irritations don't detract too much.
It's fantastic. And that's just the out-of-the-box experience of building a city. So my first city crashed and burned fairly quickly. So I just wasn't thinking it through. And I was like, oh, I can't grow it and I can't do this. And I was polluting my water and I was killing my citizens and it was dead. But my next city is I'm now up to like 20,000 people and it's growing. And I've got my trains going, woo-woo, I've got my subway. and I'm loving it. I mean, I picked it up on Saturday morning and I've put in 10 hours.
Wow, okay.
For that kind of game, you know, it's unheard of. And that's just the out the box. You can pick a hard mode, you can pick an easy mode where it basically just gives you loads of money. So you can actually see most of the game because when you play it, you unlock as you go on. Yep. You don't get everything straight away. But the thing that this is going to have loads of legs is that it's fully modifiable. And there's already some great mods out there. So there's custom buildings. So one of the guys that worked for Maxis is now making buildings for this game.
Right, okay.
But there's also mods that fix some of the issues. So there's some things like when a building gets disused, you can go in and demolish it and somebody will come in its place quicker. So you can put a mod in place that does that automatically. And there's some other bits where the roads, see changing a road to make it, if it's one way and you want to make it two way, it's all a bit hard work. You can get a mod that you can just swap it out, make it a little bit easier. And other things, but the mods are going to be awesome because I'm sure somebody at some point is going to have there's a Game of Thrones set of graphics that you can put in place. There's a Roman Empire set of graphics you can put in place. So that's the first bit of it. Save games. So that if you go into the Steam marketplace, they're free. There's loads of people who have put up their save games already. So you can download a fully built GTA map.
Wow. Okay.
And you can either buy it with no city or you can buy it with somebody's tried to mimic the GTA city on it. Which was great. There's also other completed cities, so you can download ones that have already got, you know, 500,000 people or 50,000 people, and they've already done a bit of the game. And then the third bit is maps themselves. People have made maps of loads of famous cities, but they're not populated, so they've just got the geography and the heights done properly.
It's up to you.
You can also make your own. There's a website that some Redditors have put together. You go in there, download the map tiles, so you can have Glasgow, you can have London, you can have whatever. And I just think it's going to go and grow. Fantastic game.
And that's called Cities : Skylines.
Yes. I even installed Steam again just for that.
Okay. That is the end of the podcast. Well done for getting this far. Thank you very much for listening. Apologies for the slight gap, but hope it was worth the wait. As ever, if you want to find out more about us, what we do, what we talk about, digitaloutbox.com is our website, info@digitaloutbox.com to email us. Twitter is digitaloutbox. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK, and you can find out all about my racing, which is under a month away now, academyracer.co.uk for that. Ian, where can we find you?
Blog is iand.net, Twitter is Fripper, and I can guarantee you that every one of Chris's races is going to be infinitely better than F1 was on Sunday.
We can't fail to be. I'm not going to be winning this year, I can already tell, but it's going to be far more fun to watch. So
that was criminal at the weekend.
It was. I actually fell asleep in the middle and I didn't even know I'd fallen asleep.
It says it all when the most exciting thing was Schwarzenegger coming on to interview Hamilton.
Yeah. Let's hope that they get better. Let's not judge it by one race. So, yep, thanks for listening. And we will talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Ta-da. I never even asked the important question. You're going to buy an Apple Watch?
No.
Okay.